Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 for just a little while tonight. I doubt I can preach all of this. And I tried a few weeks back in another meeting, and that didn't work that morning. It probably won't work tonight. But I want to try to just maybe feel our way through this, and we'll lean in upon some truths tonight. See what the Lord has. I got a lot of material I could just throw out, but I want us to get where God would have us to be and settle in on what He wants us to hear right now this evening. Romans 12, if you're willing and able, if you want to stand with us, as Brother Pace used to say, willing and able, stand with us, and we'll give reverence to reading God's Word. The Bible said in verse number 1, Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, notice this next phrase, will of God. The Bible said, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You can be seated this evening. Let's pray together. Give me just a moment, and we'll lay out our foundation we want to build upon tonight, preaching from these verses. Heavenly Father, tonight we do come before you in Jesus Christ's name, your beloved Son and our dear and precious Savior of our soul. Would you hear our prayer one more time? We pray, we acknowledge tonight our great need of the help of God in this place. Lord, as you helped us this morning, would you help us again tonight through the Word of God? And I ask you this evening, Lord, you'd make clear and plain that you'd have spoken. Lord, I don't know what you're dealing with people about tonight. Lord, maybe tonight, as there's several more young people in the service tonight than usual. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, whatever you're speaking to them about, whatever you've been dealing with their heart to do, Lord, would you give them clarity tonight in the will of God? Lord, may you teach us, Lord, how to know and discern and follow and submit to God's plan for our life. Lord, we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, it may be a sinner in need of salvation in the service tonight. I pray that, Lord, they would understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and may they be saved, Lord, in this very service. Lord, if you do anything for us tonight, big or small, seen or unseen, we pray it all be to the glory of the Lord Jesus. It's in His precious name again we pray. Amen and amen. Romans chapter number 12 and the verses we've read. You bear with me. We'll kind of launch out easy tonight into the ground that we want to cover. But in this text, Paul here right out of the gate in verse number 1, I think it's clearly seen that Paul is writing to brethren. And when we come to verse number 2, we understand he's writing to them about the will of God. It is brethren and brethren following, knowing, and we'll see tonight proving what is the will of God for their life. As we think about the will of God tonight, there are many things the Bible says about the will of God. And as we want to study this tonight in regard to the saved people and those who know God, those who are the children of God, I would say just in passing, by way of introduction, a reminder tonight that the will of God involves sinners as well. And those that are lost, those that are still children of the devil, those that do not know God tonight. And the will of God for sinners is that all men would be saved. God is not willing that one would perish. And that He is willing that all would come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus tonight. And so if you're here this evening and you're not sure that you're saved or you know that you're not saved, understand it is the will of God where you sit right now that you would fall upon your face and with a heart of humility call upon the Lord and be gloriously saved and born again. We're not born again of the will of men and of blood and of just the determination of our own will. But John 1 said we are born of the will of God. And it is the will of God that all men would be saved tonight. And thank God for that. That leaves room and hope for every sinner tonight that's in sin. If you're yet in your sin tonight, there is hope in the fact that the Lord is desirous to see you saved. He is willing to save you if you'll come on His terms. And on the terms of the gospel, you can be saved. Amen. I don't know. I just thought I'd say a word about it. I feel like I'm bogging down right there. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's the will of God for your life. That goes beyond me as a preacher wanting you to get saved. Though I do, and it goes beyond the will of the church, and that we would have this great desire as a congregation to have every sinner in the building and every sinner listening by way of radio and every sinner watching the live stream tonight. It is the desire of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle that every sinner would be saved. Greater still is the desire of God Almighty, your Creator and the Lord of heaven and of earth and the judge of which every man will stand in front of one day and give an account of what they do with the gospel. It is God's desire and His will that you would be saved by the grace of God. Amen, amen. And we can preach, and we do preach often about that aspect of the will of God in regards to lost humanity that is all around us tonight. But in this text, Paul is not writing about the will of God for sinners. He is writing about the will of God for saved men, for saved women, for children of God, that they would set their life on a course to be lived in the will of God. Let me say tonight, the will of God concerns your life. Child of God, the will of God concerns your life. It's not just something that is involved in salvation. And that's where it begins for you, getting saved. But once you enter in the will of God in salvation, understand that from the verses we're reading and studying tonight, we understand that God's will involves every saved man and woman. Amen. The will of God. What does the will of God mean? How would we put that in terms that we can maybe understand tonight? I think when we talk about the will of God, there is a meaning or a declaration tonight that we are dealing with. Listen, that we're dealing with the determination of God in our life. What God determines for our life. Not what we determine, not what society determines, but when we consider the will of God, we are entering into a realm and a teaching of the Word of God that brings us to light that God has some things determined for your life tonight. Determination, it deals with a choice. The will of God, if we could define it, if I define it to you tonight, it is not only God's determination, but it is God's choice. It is not me choosing how to live my life, but rather me surrendering or submitting to what God would choose for my life. This evening, so many live their life just by the old-timers would say, by the seat of your britches. I have no idea what that means. Amen. Other than it would fit in, Brother Mo, with what I've heard in regard to how people live their life. Just the seat of their britches. They just go here to there and they float through life and they give no consideration about the choices they're making and how the decisions we make, they sow things into our life. But how greater our lives could be tonight if we would resign ourselves from us making our choices and allow God to make the choices for our life. I'm talking about in regards to, amen, church and service to the Lord. I'm talking about letting God make His choice and His will for my life and who I marry and what job I'm going to have and how I'm going to live my life and how holy and sanctified that I'm going to be to relinquish ourselves from our choice and let God make His choice for us. Amen. Amen. This thing going to get big in me again. And deals with the will of God, deals with God's purpose, God's decree, God's inclination, how God is inclining our life and working in our life and drawing us along through circumstances that He has ordained to bring and to touch our life, lining up the lights and setting a path and a direction. In our life, it is God's inclination, God's purpose. God's decree is the King of all creation. As your Creator is the one who gave you life and the one who sustains your life and the one who keeps your life and the one who saves your life, allowing God to send His decree into your world. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, the world is crying for you and I to follow them. The devil and the gates of hell are sending out decrees that plead with mankind to follow the plans and the purposes of Satan himself, those evil demonic spirits. But I'm telling you tonight, if you're saved, those voices and those beckonings and those appeals to our life and presentations to our life ought to be something that we overcome. And you'll only overcome that by following and living your life in the will of God. Amen. In this text, Paul is writing about the will of God. In verse number 2, he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And he's writing to the brethren. He's writing to the sisters. He's writing to the family of God. That your responsibility as a child of God is to know and to do the will of God in your life, whatever God has determined for you to be. It is your responsibility to know that and the will of God and get after it. Amen. Amen. And so this evening, when we come to this thought tonight of the will of God, let me throw some things out, some thoughts here. That the Bible is declaring, that Paul is declaring. And we could go to a lot of verses tonight, but let's confine our study just to this evening. That the Bible is declaring to you and I about the will of God, God's determination, God's choice, God's purpose, God's decree, the Lord's inclination and work in our life. What does the Bible say about the will of God? Number one, notice that Paul describes and declares the will of God to be profitable. The Bible said, and let me say this, and we don't hear as much of this, thank God, as we used to. But in days gone by, and I'm sure that it's still in certain segments and circles of religion and the church world tonight, and it'll flare back up, things run a cycle. Here is how some preachers have tried to describe Romans 12 in verse 2, and Paul said it's good and acceptable and perfect. They say the will of God is like a bullseye with rings, and you can live in the good will of God or the acceptable will of God, but you ought to be striving to live in the perfect will of God. And if you'll hear me out tonight, I'm going to destroy that thinking. The will of God, you're either in it and doing it or you're not.
Amen. And so when he says it's good and acceptable and perfect, he is describing the will of God. He is declaring not that there are three different aspects to the will of God. The will of God being one, that it can be described first and foremost as being profitable to our life. The will of God is profitable. The word good is used in the King James Bible. Sometimes we think about things in terms of what is good and what is better and what is best. But oftentimes in the context of your King James Bible, the word good implies that is what is best, that it is good in regards to something and that is opposite to that is bad. And I want you to understand tonight, as we're preaching on the will of God, I give you my thought in a moment. It may be in 3 hours from now the way I feel this bubbling in my soul. But what I need you to understand tonight is that God's will is what is best for your life. It is something that is profitable. There is no satisfaction outside of the will of God. There is no success outside of the will of God. There is no profit to your life outside of the will of God. And all that you young folk can understand, and all that we old folk can understand tonight, that the will of God is profitable to our life. You try to live your life making your own choices, you're going to have a mess on your hands. There have been young folk, old folk that made decisions and made their choice on who they're going to marry and didn't relinquish that to God, and their worlds have been in a mess, and their lives are lived in great bitterness and great sorrow and great regret tonight because they did not understand the will of God is what is best for your life. The will of God is what is best. Amen. The will of God is profitable. It is a good thing as opposed to a bad thing. Everybody listening tonight? Listen now. Listen. I want to help us. The will of God is not bad for you. The will of God is not bad for you. I did not say that in the will of God there were no bad times. I did not say in the will of God there were never storms and hardships. I did not say there would never be tears that would flow off of your cheek. I never said that the will of God would never bring broken hearts and seasons of sorrow. But what I am saying is, if you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter how bad things are. You can still stand and say, in the will of God, it is a good place. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, I'm trying my best to live my life in the will of God. For 28 years since I got saved, I got interested in the will of God. There are times I have felt like and I had more on me than I can bear. I'm telling you tonight, in those times, those bad times of life, there's been nothing greater in my life than being able to pillow my head and know that no matter what was going on around me, that I was in the greatest, best place on earth because I was in the will of God. Are you in the will of God tonight? Are you going to settle for seconds? Are you going to settle for something less than the best? You say, preacher, if I don't have this or that person or this thing in my life, I feel like I'm going to miss out. But my friend, those are lies in the devil to get you to settle for something outside of the will of God. And what is not best for you is going to bring harm to your life. The will of God is profitable. Amen. Number two, we learn from the text, he said it's not only good, but he said it is acceptable. It's an interesting word. It deals with, if I could use a word for an alliteration's sake, I would describe it literally that Paul is saying that as it is acceptable to us, it is something that is pleasurable. The will of God is something that is pleasurable. In fact, when he uses the word acceptable, he uses it in verse number one in regards to our life and our bodies being presented to the Lord as a reasonable service, a living sacrifice. It is a reasonable service. And then Sammy uses it again in regard to the will of God for your life. And the word acceptable literally means pleasurable. I want to say tonight that the will of God lived out in your life, number one, it brings pleasure to God. And that is the goal of the saved life, is to live a life that brings pleasure to God. Is the life you're living and the choices you're making and the direction you're going, hey, is it pleasurable to God or not? Can God look down, amen, upon the decisions you're getting ready to make, or the decisions you've already made, or the direction that you're in, or that you're going, or that you hope to go? Can you pause long enough to say, God, is this what brings pleasure to you? The will of God is acceptable, it's pleasurable. Let me say tonight, it's not only pleasure to God, it's pleasure to the one that will walk in it. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to listen tonight. I'm not just fluffing it all up. I'm not trying to be hyper-emotional tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I know, and I've met them, and you've met them. Amen. That crowd that claims to be saved, and they act like being saved and serving God is something that's boring and something that is so grievous and something that is so hard. I've heard preachers that claim to have the call of God on their life, surrender to the will of God, and they act like ministry and the will of God has been this great overwhelming burden in their life. But I'm telling you tonight, amen, there's one preacher and there's one Christian trying to get you to understand tonight, amen, I have enjoyed living my life in the will of God. It ain't always been easy. It ain't always been, my friend, just, you know, ooey and gooey and warm, fuzzy feelings. But there's something on the inside, and I have derived my satisfaction and pleasure from knowing I'm in the will of God. So it doesn't matter what battles we fight. If you're in the will of God, you can still have joy. Maybe that's why some don't have joy tonight. Amen. Their lives are eat up with grief and eat up with, amen, negativity. Eat up with defeat because they are not in the will of God. They know something is disjointed in their walk with God and their fellowship with God. But my friend, how in the world can you not derive pleasure from knowing that you're in the will of God? That's why Paul and Silas in a jail having their back striked and beaten and shackles on their hands and in the innermost part of the prison in the midnight hour are able to sing and praise and pray. They weren't poor mouthed. They weren't saying, woe is me. They didn't have the mentality so many have in this air about trying to live for God in an ungodly society about how bad life is. They didn't talk about their mistreatments. Hey, my friend, they weren't nursing and licking their wounds. Oh no, friend, they were singing and they were praying and they were preaching and they were leading souls to Christ because they derived a pleasure from knowing they were in the will of God. The will of God is a pleasurable thing. Amen. The will of God is profitable. The will of God is pleasurable. Let me say amen, this evening, the will of God is perfect. That's what the text said, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I need you to listen right here. This is big. When Paul says the will of God is perfect, he is saying to you and I this evening that inside the will of God, there is no failure. Amen. Are y'all listening? That went over some of you. Listen, inside the will of God, there is no failure. There is no such thing as failure. There is no such thing as falling on your face, or at least staying there, all right? Amen. Inside of the will of God, it is so perfect. It is so perfect tonight in our life that we can dare stand tonight and say that in the will of God, I cannot fail. Why? Not because I'm perfect, but because the will of God is perfect. Amen. Amen. Inside the will of God, there is no such thing as failure. Everybody look here now. But outside the will of God, there is no such thing as success. If perfection is found in the will of God, and that means imperfection is found outside the will of God. And if you're going to live your life, amen, listen, live your life with no failure, with no, amen, regrets, and no wishing for second chances. And you might as well tonight make up your mind, I'm going to sell out my life to do the will of God, whatever it is. Because inside of the will of God, there is no failure. And outside of the will of God, there is no success. I'm telling you tonight why our heart beats tonight. Amen. For our own self to be in the will of God. And my heart tonight beats for my children and the young people that are in this service tonight to be in the will of God, to be in the will of God. And so many are playing games with the will of God. I don't mean to be cranky tonight. I don't mean to be a jerk tonight. But there are so many, they might as well be flipping coins and rolling dice about how they're going to live their life. They never consider what does God want.
Amen.
Amen. If I set you young people down and say, now you're getting ready to make a decision. Maybe it's about a job. Maybe it's about who you're going to marry. Maybe it's about ministry. Maybe it's about whatever. All the diverse things we could talk about that connect us to the will of God. By the way, the will of God concerns everything about your life. And I set you down and I said, why are you getting ready to do what you're doing? If somewhere in that answer, the answer does not connect you to, I've been praying. I've been desiring God's will. If you can't take me to a place where God showed you, amen, that you was to make a decision you was getting ready to make, in the will of God, then my friend, I would put the brakes on everything and find out what God's will was for my life. You can't afford to be outside the will of God. Amen. In these days, are you kidding me? In these days we're living in, you think you can get out of the will of God? I understand God can fix a great bunch of our messes that we make, and He's done that in my life. But make no mistake about it, the will of God is vital to our life because it's in the will of God that we find that is perfect. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm not one of these preachers. I'm not talking about tonight. Amen. Living your life just always ducking and jerking and living your life in fear. That's not the will of God. Amen. And you don't have to live your life that way if you have a desire to be in the will of God. I believe tonight, Brother Mike, the will of God is so perfect that if you have a sincere desire to be in the will of God, You can maybe even be deceived or, amen, confused about something. And if it's in your heart to do the will of God, God will work in your life. He'll shut things down. He'll turn things off. He'll open doors you never seen getting ready to be opened. But it's got to be in your heart to say, I want to be in the perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. The will of God. Notice with me, I'm just now making it to our thought. Ain't that a blessing? I won't get all this. Let me share this with you tonight. The will of God is profitable. The will of God is pleasurable. The will of God is perfect. here tonight, and we can say amen to all of that. Amen. That is what God has provided in His will of God. Something good, something acceptable, something perfect. But tonight, can I remind you that you and I have a responsibility in regard to the will of God. You ain't going to do it on accident. You're not going to stumble into the will of God. And this is the point of Paul's writing in Romans 12. In the verses we read, look with me again in verse number 2. Where we're deriving these thoughts from. He said, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't miss it now, that ye may prove what is the will of God. He is saying your responsibility, this thing that is profitable, this thing that can be pleasurable, this thing that is perfect for you. Understand the will of God is to be proven. That's your responsibility. Lucas, that's your responsibility. Isaac, that is your responsibility as somebody who professes to be saved, is to prove the will of God. To prove it. We think about proving, and it means exactly what you would think tonight in regards to showing forth proof, to be able to bring testimony about. The word proving, it means to discern, to distinguish, and to approve. The idea here tonight is Paul is saying that you need to be able to know, you need to be able to determine, you need to be able to discern. And if there's discernment involved, Brother Larry, and that means there's a lot of different paths you can be on. There's a lot of different calling out and voices that are beckoning for your attention. And it is your job as a child of God to be able to prove the will of God for your life. Amen. Can you prove that you're in the will of God tonight? Can you prove that you're in the will of God tonight? Is that something that you can even distinguish? Let me ask you this. Is that something you're even interested in? Amen. Are you interested in the will of God? No, I just feel like God wants me to be happy, and if this is going to make me happy, it's what God wants. How stupid can you be? I don't mean to be a jerk, but that is the world's way of thinking. Follow your heart. Ugh. Better not follow your heart, you better follow the will of God. I'm sick of watching young people make decisions. I'm sick of watching older people make decisions that my friend lead them out of the will of God, away from holiness, away from what is right, away from what is godly, away from what is in the Word of God, and get themselves in a mess. Oh, that we would take it upon ourselves, that awesome responsibility of our own discipleship, and says, I must learn how to prove the will of God for my life. Amen. Amen. Let me poke at this. Some of you, some of us that have been saved a long time, we ought to be cheering these young people on, but only in the will of God. Amen. When young people come to me, they say, well, can I get some counsel about work? Can I get counsel about marriage? Can I get counsel about, and they'll throw all these things out, jobs and making money and some situation or thing that they're going through. I never tell them, you know what you need to do? You need to go find some experts and let them give you some advice and counsel about what you need to do. Nothing wrong with counsel. Let me tell you something. You can have a multitude of counselors. I know the Bible said the multitude of counselors, their safety. But it depends on what kind of counsel you're getting. If you're getting counsel, listen, I need you young people, all you young people, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. If you go seeking counsel from somebody and it don't come up out of their heart, out of their lips to tell you to find out what God wants for your life, you need to ban them from having any say-so in your life. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. I want to know. Can you prove the will of God? Can you prove you're in the will of God? Can you discern what the will of God is for your life? Can you distinguish the will of God and the will of yourself and the will of the devil and the will of the world tonight? Can you distinguish the will of God from all the other directions that you're being called into? Paul said, that's your job. Sister, you ain't a young thing anymore. You ain't old, but can you prove the will of God? Can you distinguish what path, what way you're supposed to be living? Paul said that's your responsibility. Prove the will of God. Amen. Amen. This idea of proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, it carries the notion in the word proving. It carries the notion of regarding something as worthy, something as valuable. Let me ask you tonight, when you think about the will of God, do you put a value on the will of God for your life? Is the will of God something? Here's how we would say it. It gives the notion of regarding, counting, valuing something as being worthy. Literally, Brother Mark, literally tonight, Paul is saying it's worth it to live your life in the will of God. Do you think the will of God is worth it? Do you think the will of God is worth living? Do you think the will of God is worth doing? Do you count tonight the will of God to be a worthy, valuable thing for your life? Amen. Amen. And so if I was to give a thought tonight, amen, on what we're preaching, obviously we're preaching on the will of God, but I want to get it more narrowed down into this idea that Paul said that you may prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I want to preach and start it out. I'll give you maybe one or two things and I'll be done. But if I'm giving you a thought tonight or a title tonight or whatever you want to call it, I'm preaching tonight on proving the will of God. Proving the will of God. How, if it is my responsibility to prove it, how do I prove it? Sister Heather, how in the world would we do that? What things has God given to you and I? What principles are set forth in the text that are all connected to this idea of Miss Julie, you proving the will of God for your life? Do you want to know how to prove it? I'm not talking about, well, I just feel like it's the will of God. Oh, no, you cannot afford to live your life that way. Proving means I know there are some ways God has given me to be able to know the will of God. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? Amen. Number one, amen, y'all buckle your seatbelt, but number one, you can prove the will of God as a Christian and in your Christian life through the exhortation of your pastor. Oh, yeah. I heard some of y'all think, oh. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I'm not saying before I tell you what I am saying. There ain't no pastor this side of eternity that's spiritual enough to be able to direct your life. I try to walk with God. I try to live my life in the will of God. But listen, the will of God is very, very, very personal. Amen. Amen. We don't have a hierarchical system like the Catholics and other denominations would have tonight, that Brother Maurice, that you have to go to some man to find out what the will of God is for your life. That's not what Paul is teaching. That's not what Paul is preaching. That's not what Paul is writing in Romans 12:1. But look in the text. I beseech you. Paul is reminding us that though he cannot determine and distinguish and it's not his job to discern the will of God for their life, and yet there is an aspect in Paul, their man of God, involved in their life helping them to be able to prove what the will of God is. Are y'all listening? I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're going to prove the will of God in your life and you're going to be disjointed from your pastor and from your man of God, and he has no way to speak truth into your life, I'm not talking about telling you what to do, telling you what not to do, but there better be a relationship with your man of God that is strong and that is healthy and that is influential, because God has ordained it so that the man of God, your pastor, be involved in how you determine in the will of God for your life. Amen. I beseech you. I'm amazed. Some of you old folk gonna get mad at me, and that's fine, but let me preach to the youngins. I'm amazed at how many people claim to be saved and are members of churches that never, never, never come to their pastor and say, "I'm thinking about doing this. Would you help me pray about it? Have you got any scripture? Have you got anything?" And listen, there's times. Sister Betty has done this. In 10 years of pastor, Sister Betty has called me at times and said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What do I do?" And there are times I have to say, "I don't know what to tell you, but we'll pray together." Amen. Are y'all listening? The man of God, I'm not talking about him dictating the will of God to your life, but the connection is there is a man of God that they have allowed to speak into their life, that they have dropped the barriers, they have quit hiding, that Paul is even able to address this issue in their life. Amen. Let me tell you something, it ain't no, I got to be careful. Amen. It about come out mean. I don't want it to come out mean. Let me say this. You better be careful getting counsel from people that give opposite counsel to what is preached in that pulpit. Amen. There's a lot of times we'll disguise things as spiritual. I'm seeking the will of God. I don't ask so-and-so to help me, amen, prove the will of God for my life. And you go to people that are going to point you in a way you already want to go. Amen. That's what a real man of God is. He don't just give you what you want to hear. He can point you to Bible principles. You'll be praying about taking a job that's going to take you out of church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And you're thinking about that, and you're praying about that. And you're getting ready to make that decision. It'll be a man of God that can take Bible principles to say, "Now, wait a minute." Oh, some of y'all don't like that. I will tell you something. It ain't the will of God you take a job that carries you out of the house of God. Amen. I understand. You know, sometimes through the week it's tough and it's hard, and there are things we got to do. Amen. There's things we got to do. There's business we got to keep. I'm telling you, take a job that consistently carries you out of church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you can't be connected. Listen, that ain't the will of God. The man of God will not, amen, give the counsel that so many shallow professing Christians give. "Well, you got to make a living and all." Amen. Better look on up in here. I'm going to come sit down. Are y'all listening? I'm telling you, this is just one aspect. It takes a man of God to give you principles that others will overlook in giving you counsel to prove the will of God. They're giving you counsel that don't come out of this pulpit. Amen. Not just out of the pulpit, out of the Word of God that is declared and preached. My friend, you better cut off those voices out of your life. It is a man of God, and God is called and placed and gifted into the church to help you know how to prove the will of God for your life. Is that right? I believe that's right. Amen. I pastored here 10 years. Some of y'all have never, never one time said, "Would you help me pray?" Amen. Not one time. And listen, that's between you and God. I'm telling you, there's something about the exhortation of a man of God in your life. You have to have it to be able to pray. I'm not talking about telling you turn left and right, up and down, turn around. I'm talking about your relationship to what comes out of that book from the man of God is essential to you being able to distinguish what is right for your life. Amen. I'm blown away. We've reached a shallow generation of Christianity that don't even care what the preacher thinks anymore. You'll never convince me in 1,000 lifetimes you're in the will of God, living your life with a mentality, I don't care what Pastor Jeff thinks. I don't care what Brother Webb thinks. I don't care what Brother Raines thinks. I don't care what Brother Tom thinks. You'll never convince me you're in the will of God living with that kind of mentality. I care about what my pastor thinks. Amen. And me and my pastor, we don't agree on everything. What about that? I ain't saying you got to agree with your preacher on everything. I tell you what I ain't going to do. I ain't going to cut my own spiritual throat and live my life with no regard for what Pastor Barry Philbeck, who's 2.5 hours down the road without caring what he thinks about the direction I'm going, the direction my family's going and my ministry's going. Amen. Amen. I ain't even got in it. I beseech you. I beseech you, Paul says, I am beseeching you. Listen, the exhortation of your pastor, what Paul is saying in the word beseech is, I am calling you near. If you're going to determine, Sam, if you're going to determine the will of God for your life, if you're going to prove it, you got to allow the man of God, amen, and your life to be very near to each other. Some hide from him. Some don't want him to have no insight, no closeness at all, because they know if he gets close to their life, he's going to see things in their life. Amen. Y'all are quiet, and that's fine. I'm going to tell you something. You will not be able to prove the will of God for your life with you far in relationship to your pastor. You can like that, lump that, fall out in the aisle. You can pooch your lip. I know we're a long way. Brother West was running, jumping, skipping. He had y'all on your feet this morning, and I done put you back on your tail. Are y'all listening? I'm going to tell you something. You need the exhortation of the man of God. Paul said, if you want to prove it, I'm calling you near. I'm beckoning you. Close the gap. Close the gap. Be close to the preacher. Amen. Amen. The word beseech means to, I love this. It means to call aloud and directly. Let me ask you a question tonight. If the pastor had to call you out, could you handle it? If he had to say, hey, I see something in your life that's a little concerning, would you be able to take that? Who do you think you are? Yeah, I doubt you know much about the will of God. Amen. You young people, y'all listen to me tonight. I need some old people shouting a little more. You young people need to learn how to take a rebuke. We got such a soft generation. I love y'all, and I'm going to love on every young people. Why I got you here tonight, and I'm in this vein. You need to learn how to take rebuke. I've dealt with adults for nearly 25 years of ministry that for the most part could not take a direct rebuke on their life. And Sister Marcia, it puts you in a corner as a pastor, because you know if you do it, most of the time they just going to get mad and go down the road to some other little sissy preacher. Amen. Who won't deal with their sin and won't call them out. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. They'll go down the road, find somebody tickle their ears and scratch their itches. Amen. Paul said, I beseech you, I need you to understand it's your responsibility to prove the will of God. And you cannot do that without a man of God calling aloud and directly into your life. Amen. How would you handle it tonight if your pastor had to come to you and say, we need to talk, and just began to express concerns? Could you handle that? Amen. Let me ask you this. You say, oh, yeah, I could take it. Let me ask you, how would you take it? So I'd never leave the church, but man, I've watched them. Some of you young people, don't get mad at me. Now, can I help y'all? If somebody gets on you, you act like, hey, man, you have just had the greatest injustice done against your life. You need to grow up. Amen. I had a daddy. He didn't care. I've tried to care about feelings, and I understand we're living in different days. I understand all that. But I've told my children, you better thank God your papa ain't the one that raised y'all. Amen. I love my children, and they've been, and it's my fault they've been too greatly spoiled is what they've been. Now, they might would argue different, but that's the case. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you, when you get somebody gets on you, that ain't, preacher don't like me. I'll tell you, a preacher sits you down and say, I'm concerned about where you are. That's a preacher actually that loves your soul. And a preacher that'll preach like I'm preaching tonight is a preacher that loves you. I don't hate you. I'm not out to, amen, beat on you and beat you down. I'm out to help you tonight. And the vein the Lord has us studying tonight is how to prove the will of God for our life. And it involves the exhortation of a pastor. When he gets up and preaches messages like this, how do you take it? You bite your fingernails off, pull your hair out. Man, how long is he going to be in this vein of thinking? Amen. Amen. I've heard some talk about Preacher Wells through the years, that series he did on All the World Lieth in Wickedness. I've heard Brother Andy talk about it. Man, we never thought we'd ever learn anything about grace anymore. Amen. Can I tell you something tonight? Thank God for a preacher that loves you enough to challenge you and call out the will of God in your life. I'm almost done. Amen. This word beseech, it means further to urge on or to incite by word. You know what a man of God, you know what his greatest desire is for your life as God has placed him in ministry as a shepherd of your soul. You know what a man of God, you know what your pastor's greatest desire, if he's a true man of God, is? It is to watch you live your life in the will of God. Amen. And why we preach hard and sometimes it's strong and sometimes it feels like, amen, we're getting blasted in the face with a shotgun. Let me tell you something. There is something about encouraging. I'm hoping to encourage young people tonight and encourage young people the next several days to give their life to the will of God. That would bring me no greater joy. John the Beloved said in 3 John that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth, walking in the will of God. And I say there's joys when I see young people begin to make decisions that are hard decisions that go against what they want. Amen. Won't get into all of it. Amen. I've watched here in recent days. I've watched one of the young men of our church have to make a decision that broke his heart. And I've watched him do that saying it's the will of God. And I don't want to be out of the will of God. And it hurt him. It hurt him to have to make choices that he made. Wept and cried. Amen. Wept and cried. And we prayed together. I don't know what God's going to do in his life, but I know this. I'd much rather be hurt for a few days and get my life in the will of God than to spend the rest of the days of my life out of the will of God. Amen. I think we're far enough past this. Seth Townsend's here tonight, and he is a young man I admire with all my heart. I know the life he lives. I know the desire he has to be in the will of God. Amen. Just too personal. Amen. I watch him and my oldest daughter. I thought for sure he'd be my son-in-law one day. I watch him and my daughter have to wrestle with and come to the conclusion, this ain't the will of God. Amen. Amen. I I'm telling you, I admire that young man for saying, I don't want to be out of the will of God. Amen. I admire that girl who is in the will of God tonight, raising a family in the will of God, saying, I'd rather go through a few nights of weeping and crying and hurt, amen, rather than spend the rest of my days out of the will of God. Amen. God may be dealing with somebody about, some young man about preaching. Maybe right here tonight. I got to see a young man. I ain't seen it in a long time. I'm praying we get to see it this week. Be fine with me. Light on the Mountain, you can't watch the young man walk the aisle last night of Light on the Mountain, get down the sawdust. I'm talking about they was tears going everywhere. They was snot all over the place. And that young man surrendered his life, Brother Mike, to preach the gospel and the word of God. I talked to him after service. He said, I've been wrestling with that. He said, I didn't want to do that. He said, I've been wrestling for months. I've been arguing with God for months. I said, well, you feel pretty good about it right now, don't you? He said, man, I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. He said, I've known what God was wanting me to do. And it took some men of God in his life encouraging and urging him in the will of God. Amen. Well, that's just point number one. I don't know if it gets better or worse from there. Brother Riley can tell you he heard more of this message than I've preached tonight. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to prove the will of God, it's going to take the exhortation of the pastor. When the pastor's preaching, what are you doing? Are you listening? Amen. When the man of God is preaching, are you listening for what God has to say? Or do you just sit there thinking, how much longer is he going to be? After he preaches and the altar's open and a chance to respond to the message and what God has spoken to your heart about, do you ever respond? I see young people in the invitation. I watched it this morning. Talk. Carry on. Invitation, when the Word of God's been preached, that ain't the time to be. That's the time to be saying, Lord, you spoke to my heart about this. Or, Lord, I went through a whole message and I didn't get anything out of it. What's wrong? What's wrong? Lord, why? Are y'all listening? I ain't trying to make enemies tonight. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to know the will of God, you'll know it through the ministry of the man of God preaching the word of God, inciting by word, giving you a word from God. Have y'all been amazed? Now I need some amens. I'm done here. I've gone too long. Amen. Amen. I ain't been as long as Brother Wesley was this morning. Somebody give me a witness right there. Getting close, though. Ain't it amazing how you're praying about something? Or maybe you've all but already sealed a decision in your life. And you come into a service, and the man of God gets up, has you open to a scripture, and begins to preach the word of God, and just starts ripping off the cloak. Ripping off. Amen. All the things that was just going on in your mind or your life or direction, and God make it clear and plain. Amen. That you is either out of the will of God, going to be out of the will of God, or confirm the will of God in your life. Amen. Ain't it amazing?
Is it? Am I? I'm surely me and Sissy ain't the only ones. Okay. Let me tell you, you cannot buy that at the Walmart.
Yes, sir.
You say, I have no idea what that's like to have God speak to my heart and show me I was wrong or show me I was right. I thought Jesus said once you got saved, you was in a sheepfold, and if you was his sheep, you could hear his voice. That's what I thought the Bible said. Did I misread that?
Amen.
Did I get that wrong?
No, sir.
I got it right.
Amen.
I thought I got it right. I thought that Bible there said the God who saved you speaks and leads us, and we not only hear his voice and know his voice, but that we follow his voice. I thought that's what he said in John 10, but y'all may want to go home, read it when you get home, just see if I'm right or wrong. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of days I've gone to meetings, I've gone to services, set my tail down at the feet of a man of God that gave me exactly what I needed to be able to distinguish and discern the will of God for my life. Amen. Well, y'all ain't mad at me, are you? You can't be, because I preached tonight, you couldn't be. You can't get mad at a preacher trying to help you prove the will of God. Here's my question. Are you in the will of God? Are you in the will of God? Can you prove it? Take me to the message you heard a man of God preach where God confirmed it in your heart you was in the will of God.
Amen.
Tell me about it. Testify about it. Take me to the time you came to a man of God confused about something, and he called something out of you, and God just shored everything up in your life. Take me to that place. Prove the will of God.
Amen.
You ain't got to prove it to me, and you don't have to prove it to everybody else, but if you can't prove it in your own heart, I'm telling you, I wouldn't go home tonight determined to do what I was getting ready to do.
Amen.
Here's what I know about the will of God. If you're really saved, you know when you're in it and you know when you ain't. You know when you is and you know when you ain't. Amen. If I was a young person again, I'm thankful. I'm done. Candy, come on the piano if you will. I think we'll give invitation. I know we've been long. I did have a little bit of sense after I got saved to start sitting myself around men of God and just listening to them. I wanted to be where they were talking. I wanted to be where they were conversing about life and the Bible and how to live for God. Amen. But if I could go back and be a young person again, I think I would do that more purposefully and fervently.
Amen.
I think, Brother Mike, I would do that more directly.
Amen.
I think I would get to those men like Billy Goolsby and Brother Raines, and thankfully I've been able to do that as I've gotten older, but I think I would go back as a young man and say, Brother Raines, would you help pray over my life and speak into my life? I think I'd have been, Brother Mark, more direct with men like Brother Stennett Ballou and let them have some. Now, some of y'all, you're going to choke on this, and you just choke on it, okay? I think I would have gone to them and give them the permission to have authority in my life.
Amen.
I think I'd have done that. Amen. And I think I would have probably give myself more to saying whatever they say to me, I'm going to value that in my life and take that to God and let God use that to form my life. Doesn't mean you got to do everything the preacher says. I'm not even in that vein of thinking. But do you care you care at all? Amen. I think I'd do that. I challenge you young people. I know when you're young, you think you got all the answers. You got it all figured out. I'm getting a little bit cranky the older I get, I understand. I get young people, they do come, or you got to sit them down and talk to them. And I have to say, no, that ain't right. That ain't right. You don't know what you're talking about. So you tell young people that, you better believe I do. If they're getting outside that book, I'm going to tell them you don't know what you're talking about.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. I thank God for every man of God's ever sowed into my life. Everyone ever put the brakes on me and said, here's what the Bible said. Amen. Amen. Amen.